we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just truly are here tonight, Lord, to thank you for being so good to us, Lord, and so wonderful, Lord, to think that you saw, you created it, you spoke it, and you saw that it was good, Lord. And we just want to be gathered under your wings, Lord, where everything is truly, truly good, truly peaceful, truly holy, truly safe, truly truth, a place of refuge, Lord. And we just want to come before you tonight, Lord, just asking, Father, that you would just hide us, oh Lord, in you, Lord, in your word, and by your voice, Lord, in this last day, Lord, that we would be in that name of the Lord that's a strong tower, Lord. We run to you tonight, Lord, to safety, Father, in your name, Lord, in your presence, in your character. Oh, Lord, how we praise you, Lord, that, Lord, your ways are so much higher than our ways, Lord. How blessed we are, Lord, to be called the sons and daughters of God, to be able to come tonight, Lord, into your presence. Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord, for the plan that you have for us, Lord. When you were on the cross, Lord, you were on your mind, Lord, to think, Lord, how thankful, Lord, we can be, Lord, even just for what you've done to us today, Lord. Lord, for your love, kindness is better than life, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for being so good. We thank you, Father, now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you so much. God bless you, Jesse, for doing sound. Thank you. Thanks for being the congregation tonight. At least in the building. And thank you online for all you being the congregation tonight. The Church of God. God bless each one of you. So thankful to be here tonight. It's so wonderful. We are the house of the Lord, but it's so wonderful to be in a place set aside, consecrated. You've heard a saying, it's easier to change. It's easier to change our location than it is to change our mind. That if we get into a place sometimes like this, we're not going to get up and do the dishes. We're not gonna go maybe try to multitask while we're doing it. And I notice that, you know, at home a lot of times I have to confess that sometimes I'm multitasking or trying to you know, maybe fold laundry or something like that. And God bless all those that are being diligent, but yet we just so much want to sit at His feet tonight, and it's so hard for I know everyone online, being that the room that they're in is demanding things. and what a difference it is being here tonight. So I don't want to rub it into people online too much, you saints online. But so thankful. Again, do we have a list at all for everybody? Oh, okay. Thank you. I just want to be able to greet everybody. Thank you. It looks like we have, Brother Fabio and Sister Myra, God bless you. Good to have you with us. And David and Laura and Lilia. And looks like the Field family is with us. And Greg and Karen and their family. God bless you. Brother Uncle Paul. God bless you. And Ron and Pam and Michelle and Janelle. Good to have you with us tonight. And Jamie and Christian. And Hannah as well. God bless you. And Pete and Ray and the children. Randy and Linnell and Eliana and Isabel and Sophie and Bethany, I love you. I'm so thankful for my wife, especially because it was our anniversary on the 18th. I love you and I'm so thankful for you. Such a wonderful wife to me and a mother to our children. And so thankful to have Levi and Hosanna and Isaac on. I'm so thankful for you as my children. And I love you so much. And thank you for each one of you as part of the family of God, for Josh and Debbie and family. And looks like we have the Field family on there again. And then Mary Ann Peterson, God bless you, sis. And Brother Alfred, we'll be praying for you. I heard that you're going to be tested. I think I may have gotten some kind of strain of it, as well as Bethany, about a month ago. And so I'll be praying for you because it doesn't feel very good at all. So we'll be lifting you up in prayer, knowing the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And Brother Tom, God bless you. Good to have you with us as well. Love you so much. Amen. Thank you, Nate. Wanted just to speak a little tonight. Let's just turn our Bibles and to John chapter 8, and let's just stand in honor of the Word if you could. John chapter 8. And we know the story starts out when he was in the temple and speaking, and then the scribes, and then we'll just pick up in verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto her, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And then they went on to tell him about the law. And he says, What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, in verse 6, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing again. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what love, Lord, you showed upon us, O God. Lord, we know Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And Lord, each one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, Lord, even though Satan would be the one to get us in trouble and then call the cops on us and then drag us into judgment, yet, Lord, you, Lord, would not accuse us, Lord, but you would forgive us and say, Go and sin no more, Lord. And how happy we are this evening, Lord, that you said that to us, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that, Lord. Quicken, Lord, what you want to say to us, to our hearts now. Bless us here in the speaker. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Before I start, you're probably wondering what I'm preaching on. Just really felt to preach on go and sin no more. And we live in an age that says, go and do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. There's no sin. What is sin? Oh, that's an old-fashioned word. If you want to use that word sin, you're not going to get talked to, you know, very much. Because it's just an old fogey word to the world. And yet, there's the called according to his purpose by election that when they hear that word sin, they say, Ah, I have sinned, because there's something pricked in their heart, right? No matter how old fashioned it sounds, they know. They might even say to your face, Oh, that's old fashioned, but yet inside they say, I know I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we just want to examine this tonight and examine our own hearts. See what the Lord's trying to say to us. I'm just going to open to my notes here. also want to just remember just a couple things before I start. Just wanted to remember that I don't know if you all had heard, was it yesterday, our dear gallant brother Ravi Zacharias passed away. Just what a gallant man of God, and read some of his books, and been such a big help to me in so many ways, especially being a long atheist at work, and just the way that he would approach things was so much with love. And there was just a couple things that he said that I just wanted to read really quick before beginning. He was talking about the approach that we have to witnessing to other people and to giving an answer for the hope that lies within us. And he says, "Truth that is not undergirded by love makes the truth obnoxious and the possessor of it repulsive." And I thought, wow, that is so wonderful. I'll just read that one more time since it's kind of wordy. "Truth that is not undergirded by love makes the truth obnoxious and the possessor of it repulsive." And so many times how we don't connect that we were that harlot caught in adultery, and that we were, you know, to be stoned, and that, you know, after going and sinning no more, we're the ones to throw the stones of spread the gospel stones at people, to throw them, you know, "Let's truth, I'll throw you a rock of revelation," whoosh, you know. And here he's saying that it makes it repulsive and something to run away from and dodge. And yet we speak the truth in love, and yet usually that has a connotation of that means we need to verbally yell the truth at people sometimes in some ways, even though there's times to be straight with people. And yet I just love how it's undergirded by love of what the Lord did for us. Amen. There's another part that's so wonderful. This is just someone paying a tribute to Ravi. And this encapsulates him so much. "Ravi saw the objections and questions of others not as something to be rebuffed, but as a cry of the heart that had to be answered." And that was actually from Michael Ramsden, from the president of RZM. People weren't logical problems waiting to be solved. They were people who needed the person of Christ. Those who knew Ravi well will remember him first for his kindness, gentleness, and generosity of spirit. The love and kindness he had come to know in and through Jesus Christ was the same love he wanted to share with all he met. And I believe that. And I just, there was at one time he told about, while he was talking about being undergirded by love, he said he was speaking at, it was Harvard University, and he had a young lady who was, she said, "I was, you know, very, you know, strongly, you know, considering atheism, and really not, just more agnostic. And because I saw how you took every question with kindness and grace, that it made me, I'm rethinking my viewpoint on what I think about God now." So it opened up her heart, because it's by heart-to-heart relationship that we come to Him, not by academic rebuttal and intellectual banter and jousting. So now maybe when we're coming to the ones that are already religious, sometimes you could see, you know, just as in John 8 later on, he's the one that had to really hit it hard with them because they already knew better. So go and sin no more. We see this again in John chapter 5. We just turn back a couple chapters. I always forget to remember these first things. Also, just thank you, Nate, for remembering Grandma Lenore. I spoke with her today. She sounded like she was doing good. So just want to keep her in prayer. She's supposed to be in containment for two weeks, in recovery from breaking her femur. So she can't see visitors for more than one reason, with COVID and everything. And then just want to remember also, there's a lady that I met at Costco, named Maria, and she's just this really sweet Filipino young lady, and we just started talking about Jesus, and she was saying she just whispered to me. She said, "Stephen, please keep me in prayer. I love Jesus so much, but my boyfriend that I'm living with is doing drugs again. And he lost his job because of COVID. And I'm scared, and I have no family here, and I cry every day. And I have no friends." And I said, "Oh, well, let me see if we can get you, my wife have your number." And she said, "Oh, wonderful. So please pray for Bethany that she can be a light. She's going to have her over on Friday. Just pray for Maria and Jonathan, that the Lord will just save Jonathan's soul. And then that the Lord give Bethany and I wisdom, just how we can just show her the truth of, you know, what's the right way to have a relationship and how to live with someone right and not in sin." So we just want to pray for her as well. So let's just go over to John chapter 5. We see this again. Go and sin no more. And let's just jump in. We know the story we'll just set the scene. John chapter 5, verse 2. "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And for an angel went down at a certain time, certain season, into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever was the first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole for whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, and said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man said, answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And I just think about that. You know, we were in a place without any help to get healing. And just to think that, what an example again of someone, you know, in sin, and yet God, you know, was greater than the thing that he was hoping for. You know, and this, he said, and Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And here, you know, just imagine that, saints, that he was hoping, he would say, "Oh, this man may be able to help me get in the pool." And yet he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, praise God, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And we will go down to verse 14. "Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole." So we see that again. And then therefore the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So, you know, what are we really talking about? Just want to just say what I'm going to say. Just to see that to be forgiven is not enough. We have to sin no more. How simple is that? If we can all remember that tonight, that it's not enough to be forgiven and say, you know, ask him into our heart. We all know that, but to sin no more, you know, and to also learn that sin even blocks healing, as we'll see. And then what is sin? And we know, we can say, "Oh, Brother Stephen, I know sin, it's unbelief." But what is unbelief? In what? Unbelief in what? And then that would be in hearing and obeying his word and his voice. So that's the main thing, is to know that what is sin, is unbelief in hearing or in obeying his word and his voice. And to know what is his voice in this last day. And that, I think that's that when we tie that to that, that unbelief in his voice in this last day is sin. If you think about that, his voice has been sounded out, you know, thousands and thousands of times in this day and age. And people could say, just as the Pharisees did, "Oh, well, just, we don't need that anymore." But that's sin, because it's not hearing his voice. And it's when he's speaking. And we'll go into that a little bit more. And how are we motivated to sin no more? Because I can tell each one of you, go and sin no more. And you'll say, okay, here I go. And we can go, but can we sin no more? That's the hardest part. And we know that the true motivator we have is that He first loved us. And that when He said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more, she probably got up and said, oh, I will love that man for the rest of my life. And every time she looked at a stone, she thought of him. Every time, because those stones were there going to be her final, the final thing that she would ever see in her life. And yet, it was out of love that she went and sinned no more. So we see it's love from Him back to Him, now believing. And then to look a little bit, I hope I can get through my notes. I was really trying to condense it down. So, Lord, please, may you just say what you want to say. And then just speak on a little bit on what is truth. It's only His word and His voice, and that is truth, because we live in an age to see what is truth. And because you notice how that when we talk about truth, we talk about someone that's a truth seeker, and that means that came from an intent of their heart. So in this day and age, we know a lot of people that say they have truth, but they're not. It's missing the mark because their intent of their heart is governing what truth means to them, causing them to sin instead of sinning no more. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." And yet, we even go back into, let's go back to Romans 5. Because usually we just see the pinnacle of that scripture, right? And in verse 21, in verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, praise God, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer in therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." And so we see that it's that newness of life that we have to have too. So we can't just say, oh, well, I saw what He did on the cross and I love Him for it and that's it. But we have to be buried. We have to divorce that old nature. We have to be purged, justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost so that the law of sin does not reign in our mortal body, as Romans 7 speaks of. So we see that as we go on again to go into sin is unbelief, so it is anti-faith and it blocks victory, whether it be healing or whether it be deliverance. Sin is unbelief, so it's anti-faith. So then, if we have anti-faith in our life, then how can we be healed? How can we be delivered? Because the prayer of faith shall save the sick, right? And this is from the children of Israel in 47. Now, friends, there's only one way in the world you can be healed, and that's only faith in God. No matter how much that God will permit me, by my own faith, to take the Spirit from you, unless you go forth and believe God and serve God and trust God, it'll come right back to you again. Did not Jesus say, go and sin no more, or a worse thing that will come upon you? Don't never come in a prayer line unless you expect to serve God the rest of your days. You know, when I hear that, there's two sides of me. My carnal says, for the rest of my days, surrender for the rest of my life. But that's what going and sinning no more is. If we've never come to that place and said, well, I love him because he first loved me, and I'm taking it one step at a time, and you know, I've asked him into my heart, and I've been baptized in his name, and I've asked for the Holy Ghost, but it's without that ultimate surrender, if I were not ready to say, I will serve you for the rest of my days, then how can we expect that new birth and that new life to happen? And remember, it's a decision. You're going to hear the what ifs and what about when that thing that you still like, you know, still entices you, and there's going to be new things that are attached to that. You know, the next for me was the next movie, then the sequel, or what about that? You know, and I just say, I surrender all. I'm sure some of you read Andrew Murray, not Andrew Murray, Reese Howells. Derek had borrowed me that book, Reese Howells, Prayer of the Intercessor, and how that he got on his knees and he said, for hours and hours, when God got him to the place of surrender, it was these things that would just come up while he was in prayer. Would you give that up? And he said, you know, one or two things took him an hour or multiple hours to give up. But he stayed on his knees. But he was in that place of saying, there's switches in my heart, or there's, you know, things in my heart that I'm saying yes to. And I know if I get off my knees and say, I surrender all, but really not surrendered, I'm just going to go back and sin again. And so that's really, the intent of the heart is not all the way. And so that he said it was either two or three days in prayer, just continually, and where the Lord bring up something else. What about this in your life? And he would say, oh, just the agony. But finally, oh, and at the end, the sweet peace and the surrender. There's nothing left to surrender. It's whatever he says for me to do, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to listen to his word and obey his voice. And we have to get to that place. And yet, I die daily. Again, over and over. But we still have to get to that place once and for all. To serve God, you're expecting to serve God the rest of your days. That's right, always. Don't never live a sinful life, because you'll be worse, way worse. God has promised that you will be worse off than you was at the first time. God has promised. Don't never try to come, especially this afternoon, to you who shall come in this miracle line. Don't you dare come, lest you promise God with all your heart that, and mean it, that you will serve him the rest of your days. Wow. And see, this is from Ministry Explained. I've seen people come that were renowned Christians and stand there and be told the reason that they couldn't be healed. And see streetwalkers, prostitutes, people of ill fame come off the streets and be healed of cripples and blindness and everything, sinners. And now you don't have to be a Christian to be healed, but you have to be a Christian to stay healed. For the Bible says, go and sin no more, or a worse thing will come upon you. Is that right? What is sin? What is sin? Not drinking, smoking, or gambling, nor rejecting church. Sin is unbelief. Is that right? He that believeth not is condemned already. See, you're not destroyed or separated from God because you're a sinner. You're separated from God because you refuse to walk with him, to walk in his provided way. My, oh my. And we could say, well, Brother Stephen, I'm not refusing to walk with him. I go to church, I read my Bible, and I pray, and I keep my Bible on my nightstand, for goodness sake. But are we walking with him? Are we choosing his provided way? Because that goes from a 10,000-foot picture of what God is to a precise bullseye protection of that. That's a precision directions. And, you know, we think about it through Scripture, right? It's always what's uncomfortable to us is God's provided way. I shouldn't say always, but there's a lot of, well, often, wouldn't we say? I mean, you look at Naaman. The one thing that would heal him was the one thing that was something he needed to give up and surrender. And that was his pride. That was his sense of smell, and it may be his status, and yet he had to humble himself in order to be healed. And so we see that there's so many things that we have to not be afraid and to not go off in a huff, even though we'd say, well, you know, praise God, that was a good sermon, and yet we're leaving like Naaman did. And so I say, I won't go in the Jordan to get healed. Of course, Jordan is death, right? You know, I won't go in that place of death. You've got death and life before you, and this is where he's talking about decision. Because that's your choice, each one of you, saints of God, to decide. You've got death and life before you, just like Adam and Eve. Every man's a free moral agent, and the tree of life and the tree of death is before us all. You can take either one you wish to. It depends on what tree you eat off of is what you are. That's right. And God created you a free moral agent to do whatever you want to do about it. He can't make you love Him, and He don't force you to love Him. That's your ministry explained. So what makes us go and sin no more? It's for that love of all He's done and who He is to us. And, you know, when I was growing up, I loved Him because He died for me and because I was going to heaven. And that was very, you know, a very simple truth. And yet, to think that when it was quickened, you know, to think that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and I'm reading God, and He came down that much that I could read Him and I could become a part of Him. And that single verse, John chapter 1, verse 1, and on through that chapter, was something that said, I can be a part of Him. He can be a part of me. It sounds like I'm trying to be spiritual, but that was the first thing that started intertwining the reality of His love to me. That one verse, St. John chapter 1, and then Psalms 139, how great are the thoughts You think of us, O Lord. How great are the Son of the... If I could number them, they would be more than the sand. That's how much He thinks of you. Hannah, that's how much He thinks of you. Seth and Zoe and Levi and Hosanna and Isaac and all you people out there, that's how much He thinks of you. And that's what makes us want to believe Him, which is not sinning. It's going and sinning no more. And to when He asks us to do something, to do it. I love Romans 5. In verses 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I just love that, just to think of that. That we were, we didn't have no strength. We couldn't do it. We knew the law was right. We knew that we were condemned. We knew that there was, our sacrifice was only a type, and then it was in those olden times. I can't imagine the agony of knowing that I had to keep making those lamb sacrifices for my sin, and knowing that there were 667 laws that I had to keep, and to think that I didn't even have the strength to keep that, and that the futility of that must have been so hard and so arduous. And yet to know in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And to think, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet peradventure for a good man, someone might even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, unbelievers, Christ died for us. He died for you and me. And that's why I want to serve Him the rest of my life, is because... you know, as you keep growing up, the more you have love for somebody, the more it hurts when they don't love you, or then they don't understand you. Any nuances of rejection or separation, and to think that sin is unbelief in God, sin is I don't even believe in you, in so many ways. You know, we could just say it. We have to say it how it is, and to think that while we were that way, that's when He loved us. And how much that must have ached in His heart to love us, to gather us. And here's a vitamin chewing chapter for everyone to read this week. just to really let this soak in, 1 John chapter 3, of what He did for us, so we do for Him. That's 1 John chapter 3. That's your vitamin supplement for the week. I'll just read the first three verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it kneweth Him not. What an identification. All of a sudden, what love He gave us, and hey, we're a part of Him. They don't understand Him, they don't understand us either. Hey, we're on His side now. But beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? Just jump for joy and praise the Lord. No. Purifieth himself, even as He is pure. When we, just to think this beautiful, beautiful picture, I mean, just can you imagine in the temple where there was so spoken, and what manner of love the Father hath to us, that we may be called the sons of God. And the end thereof was, every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we purify ourselves. We don't fight about what is a salvation issue. We don't fight about, well, you know, the Lord isn't going to judge me if I'm going to do this. And, you know, He's still working on me. I know it's wrong, but He hasn't really pricked me hard enough, so, you know, it's all right. No, because of this, because we have this hope that we shall, when He appear, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Because of this hope. Because that we see Him as He is, we purify ourselves. That's why. It's because of that. It's not because of semantics of this and that, and this scripture, that scripture. No, it's because He's pure, and we just have that desire, and we have His life in Him that is pure. We all know this, we've heard this many times, but let's say it again. In the ministry explained, Brother Bram says, if I force my wife to love me, I'd be afraid to marry her. But she'd come upon accepting me for what I was and married me. Thank you, Bethany. That's right. And she loved me and she accepted me that way. And that's the way we got to come to God. He wants us to love Him. And come and believe His Word. And God's Word teaches divine healing. How many believes that? Let's see your hands. That's fine. That's fine. The Word teaches it. That settles it. How many believes in gifts and callings? See your hands, that's fine. So we know that it can't be a forced thing, and yet it's she loved me and accepted me that way. And so whatever it is, we love Him and we accept Him the way He is. We have to come the way He is. So we see that it's our nature, though, to doubt what God does in each age, and to judge, you know, the children of Israel found Him wanting, and they wanted to just doubt and go back into what was comfortable. And how you look at it even in Luke, when Jesus was looking over Jerusalem, He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. The holy city, it kills God's messengers. My goodness. And to think that was them sinning, that is saying, it's a sign of killing my voice. You know, it's saying, O city, the holy city that kills the voices, the voice of me coming to you, kills the messengers that send, and stoneth them which are sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Now, I was just at the piano, and I was sometimes it just helps me to let it sink in, a scripture, and I was just singing this scripture over and over again on the piano. And it was like, you felt this mother's ache, where it's just like these arms were reaching out. And you know how it is when you hold a child, and I'm only a father. When you hold a child, you know, and we haven't seen the children for a couple of days because the grandparents have been watching them, thank you. And you just want to hug them, and you just want to hold them. And I came to Levi, and I said, Levi, give me a hug. And he was just, why, Dad? Because I love you. Why? Because you're my son. Why, Dad? Because you come from me, and Jesus gave me to you. Okay. And you just, you want to hug them, you want to hold them. I want to grow you. I want to gather you. How many parents do that? Bring Stephen. You want to come over? Yeah, Dad. Yeah, I'm busy, but yeah, I do want to come over. We'll see if that's going to work out. Mom, Stephen, you know, I made your favorite food and I got coffee on. Are you going to come over? Why? Because they want to gather us children, right? It's that wonderful thing that God put in us, or put in us, that's a reflection of Him. He just wants to gather us. And I was thinking about that word gather, because we love to gather. And we're in a place where we're kind of crabby a little bit because we can't gather. And just to think about how that He's just brooding. He just wanted to gather them all. But they wanted to just be away from Him. They didn't want what He had. I mean, you look at what we read, how that after He said, go and sin no more, and He was just this type, this wonderful thing of wooing, and they said they wanted to kill Him. I mean, they did, and they're plotting and everything. And yet, He was wanting to gather them. And you just think about this. I just see Him with His arms open, and it's these arms that are empty. And these aching arms. And He's saying, I want to gather you. They're still aching. It's not just saying, I always used to, what I didn't know and understand, it was this dismissive, indifferent, you know, I would have gathered you, but you wouldn't, kick the dust at you, kind of thing. And yet, it was this, I'm still aching, because I want to gather you. I would have, but you wouldn't. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't. And I think in this day and age, just you listen to the prophet's voice, and you hear the ache. Imagine that, being the prophet of the age, which with the indictment, you read the end of the indictment, and he says, I had to say this, and I know it was hard, but I had to get it off my chest. I had to say it, and I feel so much better now, because there was such an ache to God in him, his launching out, using his vocal cords, wanted to speak this so much, to bring these to him. And you know, that word gathering means taking away. You know, like the song says, you know, to take his bride away, how we long to be with you, O Lord. You know, we're saying, Lord, take us away. Gather us. I think that's wonderful. We don't want to just make this about a shaking finger, go and sin no more. But how many aches in the heart to just be gathered to him? To be gathered. And there's so many wonderful things with that. It means to be received, to be collected. You know, just that, you know, when, I don't know if I've ever had dreams of the time of the rapture, but it's like you see this time of judgment coming upon the earth, and you're saying, Lord, collect me. Lord, gather me. I don't want to be part of that number. I want to be part of this number. It means to gather an individual into a company of others. It says to be assembled, to be gathered to one's fathers, as they would say when someone passed away. And it means to be brought into an association with others. And I just think about that our association is with Christ and with all those heirs of the promise, to be gathered unto him, to be gathered as a harvest, to be a part of that harvest. And you when you read that story about the ones gathered into his barn and then the ones that are taken over and burned, and you just say, oh Lord, no burning, only barn, please Lord, I want that so much. I don't want to be burned. I want to be in your barn. I want to be in that place, to be in that gathering. Amen. You look at this again, so let's go into a little bit of what is truth. Quickly, in John 18, and in verse 37, Pilate answered Jesus, we know, art the king then? A king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Again, tying back to going and sin no more, hearing His voice, to be of truth. If you can hear His voice, you're of truth. And yet, it says, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. So that means we can hear His voice and harden. Oh, Lord, may we never harden. And if we feel that, oh, it's okay. Just take your rest. You know, be comfortable. It's okay. That's the invitation to a hardened heart. Rather than to be vexed. Bethany and I have been going through Ecclesiastes and how that, if you look in chapter 7, it says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than into a house of mirth. And you think about that. It's better to have that godly sorrow that leads to repentance than to have this feasting. You're like, let's go have lunch. You know, I just know that we need that so much more. I know I need that so much more to let myself be in vexation, to be in godly sorrow, in order for me to say, Lord, purge me. Purging isn't not just a quick rinse. You know, anybody that's worked in sanitation, you don't just spray something and wipe it. That in order to really purge it, you got to let that sanitary thing really soak in to cleanse it. And then we have to take time for it to soak in to cleanse us. We have to wait upon Him. I was reading about Ravi Zacharias today. I remember hearing him talk about this a little bit. And he said, Jesus was not merely checking on Pilate's sincerity. He was opening up Pilate's heart to Himself to reveal to Pilate his unwillingness to deal with the implications of Jesus' answer. In the pursuit of truth, intent is prior to content. So again, that's the intent of that heart of, you know, it's like when you're talking to someone, for example, and they'll say, oh, well, kind of like what you're saying. Where do you go to church? And I said, like I've said before, I stopped saying, well, this little church here, I would say, why do you ask? Because I want to know the intent of why they're asking where I go to church. Because if I just tell them where I go to church, that's the end of it. And I invite them and that's the end of it. But the intent is prior to content. The love of truth and the willingness to submit to it demands the love of truth and the willingness to submit to its demands is the first step. Therefore, to reject Christ is to choose to govern oneself with a lie. I'm just going to read that again. I'm sorry, that's wordy, and it is getting on. But I just want to, this is so important because this is the difference between someone looking at the message and saying, nah, that's not for me. You know, I have Jesus. That's just good enough for me. I don't need. But you think about it. What is the intent behind that? What is the intent in the pursuit of truth? What is the intent? Because it can override God's voice for their version of the gospel because of the intent of their heart. And rather than going and sitting no more, they are now casting themselves into outer darkness. In the pursuit of truth, intent is prior to content. The love of truth and the willingness to submit to its demands is the first step. Therefore, to reject Christ is to choose to govern oneself with a lie. So we see that rejecting Christ is to be under a false doctrine, if you will, of just our own Stephen's doctrine or whoever's doctrine. And we see even the prophet was saying this. This is from the indictment. I recently was going to quit preaching. The people wouldn't hear me. They just kept on doing the same thing, and I got discouraged. So here, they were doing these, you know, they were listening, right? But they wouldn't hear and obey. They just kept doing the same things over and over again. And I think, wow, that sounds familiar with my life. Lord, I hear your voice, and I think sometimes I just, you know, it's that point of worse or better. Are we continually being shaped into his image, or is time the fix? He says, if you believe me to God. Now think about this. Just listen to how he talks about this, and he kind of just really, he goes into it here. And if you believe me to be God's prophet, or his servant rather, if you believe me to be his servant with all your heart, and you will believe that I've quoted you the truth, you heard the word, he that heareth my word, in St. John 5:24, and believeth on him that sent me, I preached the word, you believed on God, and you raised up your hand that you was a sinner, and you did not want to be a sinner anymore. Notice how it sounds so simple, but he's saying, you know, hearing the word, sinner. Then God said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. Then what drawed your hand up? God. Hallelujah. You made your decision. All right. What did he say? He that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. We can sin by not hearing. That's all it takes, is to not hear his voice. This is from At Thy Word. Wonderful quote. Now then, if he should take me as his servant, he never spoke this directly to you, but it's just the same as directly to you. Wow. I'm going to say it again. Now that if he should take me as his servant, and now he never spoke this directly to you, but it's just the same as directly to you. But he never said, Mrs. So-and-so in a certain age and a certain time, but then he has a prophetic gift that he sent into his church in these last days to stimulate the faith of the people. Again, from unbelief. Then if he should speak through me, that would be secondarily, but it would be his word just the same. It would be, I'm going to read that part again. Then if he should speak through me, that would be secondarily, but it would be his word just the same. Now to doubt this written word would be sin. And to doubt his spoken word would be sin. See? So you see that. It's the same word. And we could say, well, Brother Bam said all the cooks in Texas are the best cooks. That wasn't God speaking. That was Brother Branham speaking. We know this. And yet people, of course, try to put it all in one handbasket. And that's why people leave the message. And yet we say, but now he's here, he's talking under the anointing. And he's showing us that to doubt that if God is speaking through him, that would be the same as doubting his own word. Because God chose him as his servant. That's what he's saying literally here. Now to doubt this written word is sin, and to doubt his spoken word would be sin. See? This is in 51, if anyone is looking. It's paragraph 46. Just so wonderful that you are. Now you must be prepared, and all you in the prayer line, to believe. And if you do not believe, I just step out of the line, because be assured, you'd be worse off than you ever was in your life. See? For he said, go in what? No. He said, go in what no more? That's disbelief. Unbelief is sin. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. He wasn't talking about some immoral act. He was talking about your unbelief. And to think that we could... What a sneaky deception in this last day. Just that unbelief. You know, we don't need the prophet. We just got Jesus. There's nothing else we need. All we need is Jesus. But to think that we don't understand... Someone somewhere isn't understanding prophets because that's his voice. And as he's explaining here, that's his voice that he's speaking through. He that believeth not is condemned already. See, it's your unbelief is what condemns you. God don't send you to hell because you're a sinner. He sends you to hell because you reject your provision that's made for heaven. You reject your provision that's made for heaven. See? You just reject that. We know Malachi 4 says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, God will send Elijah the prophet. That was His plan, His provision that's made for heaven. That's a part of that. See, you reject that, you don't have to do a thing to go to hell. Only thing you do is just reject Jesus. Just fail to believe His word. That's all you have to do. See, Satan's always put a question mark across that. But that's thus saith the Lord. So we see this. You'll see a lot of this. When people go out and look for things, it's saying, you know, I'm this way. Is I want a comprehensive study. You know, just it's not of, I'm already sure, going in just like they did at Kadesh Barnea, right? Go see if it is a good land. Well, it was already promised that it was a good land. But it was a test. Just like Jesus when He said, who do men say that I am? Well, this and that and this and that. And who do you say that I am? It was this test of, and we see this, did John's baptism come from God or from man? Did his ministry come from God or from man? We have to say ask the same thing of Brother Branham. Was it from God or from man? Before we dive into everything on the internet, we have to say, by Scripture, is it from God or from man? That has to be answered, because if we go on the internet, we can prove anything wrong. Is it not right? You can take anything. You can take any person. You could take any biblical person in the Bible and completely indict them. You could indict David for having an affair and then losing his kingdom. What kind of a testimony is that? You could say Abraham, you know, lied about saying it was his sister, and you know, and then having, you know, children by another woman and all this stuff. And you say, oh, what kind of a, that's supposed to be the father of our faith? That can't be true. You could just go on and just take any person in the Bible, and you see that there's this, you know, like Noah getting drunk after coming off the boat. You could say, well, this end of the, you know, he had a great ministry, but you know, the end of that ministry, I tell you what, he just kind of seemed like he kind of a little went a little off. Why? But you always look at Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. God has a different value system on how to judge information, how to judge truth. And how we doubt God's word in this last day is by not taking His way of rightly dividing the word of truth. Because we know that that's what it comes down to. And that's bringing it, of course, we know this is in a general sense of go and sin no more. Surrender your life to Christ. And yet, we could surrender our life to Christ and then reject what He's done in this last day. To not hear His voice. I pray that this is a blessing to you. To know that it's such a slippery slope when it comes to the intent of your heart when you go searching. If someone says, you know, well, you know, I'm pretty sure, but I'm just going to go check on the internet to, you know, see what the information is out there. If you're pretty sure and you have some doubts is, it's like saying, I have some sins, right? I have some doubts. I'm not saying you shouldn't go look up things. That's not the point. I don't think it does any benefit because the Scripture talks about, you know, we're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. If you look at the people that even started to believe the sign, multiple people, multiple witnesses have said this person is very ungodly. They're not even a believer. Believer meaning not even believing, they're not even believing biblical truth. So that's the counsel of God and the godly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. They're scorning the message believers, or message people. This is something that's unbiblical to now go into and say, tell me more. So we have to remember that if we walk in that, if we say, well, I had a guy at work, and a very, very great guy, and he said to me, you know, Stephen, I have a challenge for you. Don't read the Bible for 1 year. And just, you know, read, you know, just start reading other, you know, faiths, you know, just to have an open mind so that way you can understand where people are coming from so you can be, you know, be a better believer. And, I mean, that sounds so logical. I mean, to say, you know, this gospel is good enough, you know, John chapter 10, no one shall pluck me out of his hand. Praise God, I'm going to take a sabbatical from the Bible and I'm just going to research all these other religions, and then I'm going to come from their partial truth, and I'm going to bring them back to God. That's what I'm going to do. But we are sheep. We pasture, and we grow in the pasture we're in, and we become what we behold, and we're made in that way. It's something that we do. So then if all of a sudden we go into a pasture of unbelief, what's going to happen? I don't believe anymore. So just be encouraged, saints of God, that when God said, had made a way to go and sin no more, you know, don't just sit there idle for us to go and sin no more, for us to go and, you know, be abounding in the faith more and more. Let's do that rather than in more sin. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening as the musicians would come. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for you tonight, Lord, and we just love you and praise you, Lord. We just are so thankful, Father, that you, Lord, when we couldn't, Lord, help ourselves, Father, you came, Lord, and saved us, Father. You were the sacrifice for our sin, Lord. You became sin that we could become the very righteousness of God. And yet, Lord, we all sin and fallen short, Lord. We don't all have to keep sinning and falling short, Lord. Lord, for you will keep us from falling, Lord. For you've given your power to will us power to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. Lord, tonight, Lord, we are faced with a decision, Lord. For those who felt pricked in their heart, I know as the prophet said in the end of the indictment, Lord, just wring my heart out, God. Lord, wring me out, Lord. Wring us out, Lord, that we have nothing in us that remains in doubt and sin. That we not go back to that lifestyle. That when it comes to the sins of the flesh, that we would just say, Lord, I promise I will live for you for the rest of my life. How many would make that decision in their heart tonight? It's not a light thing to promise the Lord. Say, Lord, I'll serve you. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. I want to surrender. And if you're struggling with that, want to say, Lord, I want to surrender, Lord. Take whatever's blocking me, Lord. There's fear that says if I surrender, then I'm going to have to give up everything. Fun. I know that I had that lie told me when I was little. I'll have to give up everything that makes me happy right now if I surrender everything. So, Lord, help us, Lord. Because we can't help ourselves, Lord. And yet, Father, you said rise and walk, Lord. To that man, Lord, for 38 years in that condition, Lord. We don't have to be in that condition for 38 years, Lord, for you to make us walking and leaping and praising God. To take us from a life of sin and unbelief, Father. Lord, even maybe tonight, Lord, even reading a quote. Maybe someone was saying, well, I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to have to go check that quote. And I hope you do. And yet to know and be aware that there is something that can be in our subconscious trying to keep us in doubt and unbelief. Like Brother Brown said, doubt your doubts. Help us, Lord. Please, Father. Lord, we want to rightly divide the truth, Lord, but we never want to doubt, Lord, what you're saying to us. Please, Father, help us, Lord, to not continue in sin, Lord, in our lives. And if there's someone that's really feeling pricked, Lord, that they've been continuing in sin, they've done all the right things, Lord, and yet there's still those little secret sins, Lord. Lord, please forgive us, Lord. Please help us, Lord. We need you, Lord. We don't want to just turn off the sermon tonight and then go back to what's really pulling us back into the world. We want to just lay aside every weight. We're almost there. We're on the home stretch. We want to draw virtue from you, Lord. We want to draw strength from you, Lord. in this time, Lord, where You're gathering Your people, Lord, to Yourself, Lord, for the last time, Lord. Oh God, may we be desperate, Lord. May we be, Lord, like that man, Lord, that was afflicted in the soul and said, on his face crying, God, save me, I'm a sinner. And one couldn't even look up to heaven. Lord, help us to not be so, quote unquote, spiritual, Lord, that we can't be so humble and so contrite that we can't even lift ourselves up to heaven for the smallest of infractions against You, Lord. Because we know that a prophet of the age, as He was saying in the end of the indictment, He was saying, oh, wring my heart out, O God. Take any sin away from me. Just in desperate contrition before You. Oh, Lord, we need You, Lord. We need, Lord, there's some, Lord, that haven't had a new birth in Jesus Christ. Hasn't come into newness of life. It's for You to not only just be baptized in His name, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's waiting to come in, but don't say yes if you don't sincerely mean it. He's waiting for you. And what is pulling on your heart right now, that's God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Aren't we thankful tonight that God still pulls on our hearts, that God still moves in our lives? He's still hovering over His children. This could be the last service we ever hear. The rapture could happen tomorrow. Where would we be? Where would we be gathered with the ungodly from walking in the council and sitting and standing in that way of the ungodly, and they shall be like chaff which the wind driveth away. But not for the righteous. Oh Lord, we want to be counted as one of them this evening. We just want to pray for each one that wants to make a decision tonight, Lord, for You. Lord, I know it's hard, Lord. We're not standing, Lord, in a church, Lord, in the atmosphere of a church building. And yet, Lord, You're with each one, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would just hover over each person tonight. Oh, Lord, please, Father. I know You're wooing us, Lord. You're calling us unto Yourself. I just keep thinking of Naaman, Lord, not wanting to go into that muddy Jordan. How many doesn't want to make a stand for Christ, to confess Him? Because it's so uncomfortable and it's so... What would my sister say? What would my brother say if I raise my hand and say, Lord, I'm not ashamed of You. I'm not ashamed to say I want to serve You for the rest of my life. Lord, I just know You see each heart. You see each hand, Lord. We need to make a confession before You. We need to make a symbol, a token of our decision. If there's anyone that wants to make a decision for Christ, would you stand? And say, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to serve the Lord the rest of my life. That's my heart in You. Fresh today with all the things of unbelief creeping in. We have a duty and an obligation as parents, as heads of our home, to not let unbelief come nigh to our door. Lord, I stand with You, Lord. I stand for You, Lord. I want to serve You for the rest of my life, Lord. Lord, it's going to be only by You, Father. Your life in newness walking every day in newness of life in you, Lord, not doubting, but Lord, living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, I commit each one here tonight, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone, Lord, that needs deliverance, Father, Lord, I just commit them to you, Father. I just pray that they would call the elders of the church, Lord, and that we would be able to pray with them. Lord, if there's anyone that needs healing, Lord, that needs deliverance, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, work, Father, in a miraculous way, Lord. Because we want to leave and take the name of Jesus with us, Lord. Not continuing in sin, Lord, but continuing in love for you, Lord. Knowing, Lord, with full assuredness, Lord, that we'll be gathered. Lord, not just telling ourselves, but knowing, Lord, on the inside of the inside, Lord, that if this is the last service, that we're going home, Lord, to be gathered with the saints. We thank you, Father. Now we pray that all hearts are clear tonight, Father. We thank you, Father, that it's already done for Brother Alfred, Lord, for his test tomorrow, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you meet all of our needs now, Lord. Thank you, Father, that time means nothing to you, Father, for if it afflicts our soul for 10 extra minutes for a longer service, Lord, then let it be so, Lord, that we may draw closer to you, Lord, that we may tarry and linger, Lord, in your presence, Lord. We thank you now, Lord, for newness of life. We commit each one into your hands now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your glory. Amen. I cannot fall, for he's greater than all. The blood of the Lamb, for it's greater than all my sins. For it's greater than all my sin. It's the blood that still cleanses me. Cleanses me daily, renewed day by day. That still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's of mine. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Amen. For there is no therefore condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, you free, from the law of sin and death. Amen. God bless each one of you this evening. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. For it's greater than all my sin. It's the blood that still sets me free. Grace that still sets me free.